Going live. They tell me I'm going live. Going live. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here, Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on Thursday afternoon. All is quiet on the Packers front. No defensive coordinator jobs hanging in the balance. No major news other than the three Packers down in the Pro Bowl. They're having some fun on social media, practice down there in Orlando, etc. But I'm here with you fine folks, talking, chatting, saying what's up, telling you about all the great stuff going on at Festival Foods. Are you craving delicious deals? You should sign up for Festival Foods emails and you'll have the weekly ad and more delivered to your inbox each week. By signing up for their emails, you'll be the first to know about new products and sale items. And if you're looking for ideas for your next meal, you'll also get the latest food trends, recipes, and meal planning tips and tricks. So what are you waiting for? Subscribe to the Festival Foods emails today at festfoods.com/email. What's up, everybody in the chat here? Teddy, sup? Jones got snubbed. You got that right. He 1,000,000,000% got snubbed. I can't believe Aaron Jones isn't in the Pro Bowl. It's kind of crazy to me. Dustin, what a surprising and great season. Absolutely. How long till people blame Rodgers on religion for the loss to the Niners? I don't know, Michael, but I just got asked about it on the radio, which I wasn't expecting. Man, Aaron Rodgers can think about whatever he wants to think about when it comes to religion. I don't care, as long as he can throw a football. Good Lord. No pun intended. Carrying the G poolside in. Wow, John, what's up, man? Enjoy poolside. I'll be in the office if you need me. I'll be with a beverage, dude. Alex, I've got a bad feeling Bulaga isn't coming back, and I think that would be a disaster. Well, all depends on what the answer is post-Bulaga, right? If they get Veldheer back on a one-year deal, I think it's mitigated. I mean, I don't think Veldheer is quite as good as Bulaga, but I think he held up pretty damn well when he did have to play late in the season. Bo, transplants will be on Monday night. Monday night. Be on the lookout. I'm going to send out a newsletter tomorrow morning. You'll be getting alert on your YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed. Get the alerts when we go live. But yeah, Monday night will be the season-ending extravaganza Packer transplants, which is basically be an hour of Corey and I crying. Do you predict big changes on D or just slight adjustments to right the ship? David, I would be surprised if there were big changes. I think they'll continue to adjust and try and learn from the debacle on Sunday night, but I think a lot of it will be down to trying to get better personnel, especially at inside linebacker and across the defensive line. Do you think Gutekunst will go after a right tackle position early in the draft? Ryan, I tend to doubt it unless someone falls that they don't expect. You know, if there's a talent sitting there at 30 that they thought was a top 50, that they have graded, say, in the top 15, then there's a possibility. But they've got a pretty good track record of waiting on guys and finding guys past day one. You know, you look at Bakhtiari, you look at Lindsley. They've done a good job of mining talent later in the draft at that position. So, again, that's not to say that if there's somebody sitting there who they have highly rated, who for whatever reason drops to 30, I wouldn't entirely rule it out. What happened to MVS? You think he can turn it around? Ryan, I do think he can turn it around. He certainly lost favor with the coaching staff and probably the quarterback after that missed completion of the first play against the Bears. But that said, Rodgers did go back to him on a number of occasions later in the year. There was a second and one in Minnesota. There was a third and a first down in the playoffs, both playoff games. So, he absolutely did not turn out to kind of be and or develop the way I think they had hoped. But he's still a very young player, still a lot of talent there, not ready to give up, and I don't think the Packers are either. Sign Cobb, maybe on a discount. Jack, I'd be very surprised if Randall Cobb came back to Green Bay. And I'd be very surprised if the Packers were interested. I think they'd much rather draft at that position. And this is a draft class of which there is an abundance of talent, both on the perimeter and in the slot. I'll be surprised if Randall's not back in Dallas with McCarthy. Which is more likely? They will use free agency or sign wide receiver or middle linebacker? I think they'll look to the draft for both of those positions. There's a possibility they look at, of those two, I would think wide receiver would be more of a possibility in free agency if I had to choose one. Robbie Anderson, who they tried to trade for, is set to be a free agent, so maybe they go that route. I can't believe Green Bay didn't get a receiver before the trade deadline. It was clear this position needed to be upgraded. Most of us knew that. Andrew, I'm not surprised at all. And look, did they need more talent at the position? Yes. But at what cost? Look at what the Patriots did. They basically threw away a second-round pick. The 49ers went out and got a wide receiver, and he's plus 30 years old, and they rented him basically for 9 games. And here's the other thing. They could have brought back Jerry Rice in his prime, and they still would have lost on Sunday night. It's not like a lack of a wide receiver kept them from the Super Bowl. Getting their ass handed to them in the run game on defense kept them from the Super Bowl. Let's put that right there. Feels like we need one veteran weapon with limited time left with QB12. Sean, I understand that kind of thinking, but, you know, it's all about fit. It's all about how they're going to work and complement what they already have on hand. Now, if it's transcendent, if it's like an OBJ, that's the kind of move that I think, yeah, that probably helps put you over the top, so to speak, on offense. But also, again, at what cost? There's a lot to play out yet. We'll see what the free agent lists look like after franchise and tags get, you know, applied. But right now, I don't see a guy that you want to break the bank for. I know people talk about AJ Green. He may get franchise tag, etc. But like, that's an old guy coming off an injury. And I understand there's a lot of talent there still. But again, the cost has to make sense for Green Bay. Emmanuel Sanders really wasn't a factor on Sunday. His QB threw 2 passes. Well, that certainly was part of it. But even the first in week 12, he had 1 catch against Green Bay. It's not like, and that was, you know, significant draft capital spent on that. And I understand why people wanted a receiver just because they had to upgrade talent at the position. My contention always was, and I think it was proven right, they had enough talent to win. They won 14 games out of 17 that they played. There was enough talent there to win football games, and they did a lot. What are your thoughts about the lack of fire story from yesterday? Michael, I mean, I think you mean Pettine not getting fired. I talked about this a little bit with Drew and KMB just now on the radio, and I talked about it yesterday on my chat. You know, I would have understood either way. I would have understood LaFleur coming off an embarrassment that was Sunday night and thinking, you know what, this isn't my guy. I can't believe we never adjusted. I can't believe the lack of urgency on defense, et cetera, and wanting to go get his own guy. But on the flip side, I completely understand taking the 30,000-foot view and saying we really improved a lot on the defensive side this year. A lot of strides. We played well in a lot of different areas. There were certainly weaknesses. It's his second year. Give him one more year. So, and I think that's where LaFleur clearly came down. I do think next year, Pettine's got to come correct. I don't think there's any question there. George, thank you for the super chat. Draft inside linebacker first round or get one in free agency? Preference? I've been saying all season I think they most likely draft. Now, it has to work, right, within the context of the draft, who's available. I do think the mocks that I've seen, the early mocks, certainly seem to indicate that there will be the chance that some of those inside linebacker talents drop far enough. But you never really know, you know, until those guys get on the clock. The good thing working in Green Bay's favor is that there seems to be a lot of quarterback talent that should be taken in the first round that will push, you know, positions of need down to them. With the depth of wide receiver in this draft class, they can probably afford not to have to reach for one at 30 and maybe wait for rounds 2 or 3. But we'll see. Again, a lot to play out between now and April. Do you think Bulaga could get the franchise tag? I'd be absolutely shocked. It would be a pretty penny to franchise him. I can't remember what, I don't have it off the top of my head, but I have to think the franchise number would be pretty high. He's coming off a year where his cap hit was $8 million. I think there's a good chance the franchise tag would be between 12 and 14. I can't imagine they go that route, especially for an old guy, third contract, playing through a ton of injuries. I'd be very surprised. Is another interior defensive lineman a bigger need than inside linebacker? Thomas, I don't think so. I do think they can win with what they have. I think they definitely need to augment and improve at inside the defensive interior. But to me, inside linebacker is the glaring need because, look, there's no way they're paying Blake Martinez. And then you have Oren Burks, BJ Goodson and Ty Summers, definitely think the need is great inside linebacker. And Ags, what are your thoughts on the Packers going after Hunter Henry and Joe Schobert? I don't know about Schobert. Hunter Henry maybe, but again, I'd be surprised if they spent more free agency dollars at tight end. I think, you know, they drafted Sternberger, and I thought he looked really good towards the end of the year. I think he'll have every opportunity to take over that number one tight end spot. If Jimmy Graham is indeed not back next year, as most suspect, we'll see. But yeah, I would think Jace would have first crack at being the guy at tight end. Maybe they augment that in free agency later on after that first wave and the silly money is out of the way, which is where I expect Hunter Henry will most likely get paid. Do you think they signed Bakhtiari to another deal? I think there's a good chance. You definitely want to get him sooner rather than later. Remember, they got to deal with Corey Linsley as well. There's a lot that's got to happen contract-wise. Do they want to lock up Aaron Jones prior to the last year of his deal? A lot of decisions to be made there. I wonder if Irvin will be a larger part of our offense next year. Well, he's got to be signed back first. He's got to be a free agent. I would love to see him back, and I'm with you. I think he has a chance to be a real X factor, and it would be really fun to watch him with a full offseason under his belt, you know, go through the offseason program, training camp, etc., all stuff that clearly he didn't do this year. Do you think Pettine looks to switch to a 4-3? John, no, I don't. And that's not, I don't hate 4-3 or anything. It's just who he is. His entire system is based in the Buddy Ryan, Rex Ryan, you know, 3-4 principle scheme. So that's not to dismiss it out of hand. I'm not going to say never, never say never, but I would be very, very surprised. I mean, it's just the absolute root of everything he does is within the 3-4. Is there a difference cap-wise if Graham is cut versus retires? Yeah, there's a lot less dead money if he retires. Oh, my God, not Tua. Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of differing opinions about that, differing thoughts. People are very, I guess there's not a lot of differing. There's like one or two. People are either really on to it, really for it, or really against it. Look, that's up to Brian Gutekunst, what he thinks of Tua's play on the field. I know a lot of people are worried about health and being able to stay on the field and the ankle, the hip, etc. Whatever Brian thinks is fine by me. I wouldn't hate it. I think he's a really talented kid, but you know, again, we got the whole draft season ahead of us, folks. We're going to get all sorts of fun breakdowns and looks at all the quarterbacks, I'm sure. I've seen mocks that have Tua going in the top 10. I've seen mocks that have Tua out of the first round altogether. So it'll be fun to monitor. Joseph, thanks for the super chat. We drafted Sternberger for a reason, people. Jesus, you're going to do an extra cheese session with us on the tentative prospects sometime soon, Nags? Joseph, thanks for the super chat. Look, yeah, they drafted Sternberger for a reason, but I don't think it's out of bounds to ask about free agent tight ends when they've gone and got free agent tight ends seemingly every year for the past 5 years. And as well as Sternberger played, at least in my estimation, late in the year, that doesn't mean, there can't be competition. I don't think it's otherworldly to wonder about free agent tight ends. As far as a tentative prospect breakdown, et cetera, look, I haven't even begun to really look at a lot of these guys yet. I will most certainly be putting together some chats with guys like Matt Miller, Justice, all the guys I usually talk to in the offseason, probably doing something both here with YouTube, probably something exclusive for Patreon members. I'll be attending the Combine at the end of February. I'll be talking to all sorts of people. I'll get Matt Bowen on. I'll get everybody, all the usual suspects. But I don't really like to talk prospects until I've gotten a chance to look at a bunch of them. And I'm starting to get familiar with some of them through the Senior Bowl coverage this week. But I'm never going to blow smoke up your butts about, oh, this guy or that guy in college that I have seen like three highlights of. I know some people who do that. That will never be me, guys. Uncultured Barbarian, thank you for the super chat. Thaddeus Moss would look great in green and gold. I mean, this is my favorite part of draft season, is there are so many guys who look great in green and gold, and you spend the next 3 months fetishizing and wondering and hoping and praying, and then you get to the draft, and they're drafting at 30th, and you watch all these guys that you've spent 3 months hoping and praying are going to be on your team end up going to other teams, and you got to wait 3 hours to find out who the Packers pick. It's going to be a great time. Any thoughts on Gary playing a five-tech defensive end? Overshadow, LaFleur was actually asked not that specific question, but about maybe moving him inside full-time, or at least into a three-point stance full-time. And it sure sounds like LaFleur is dead set on him playing outside linebacker. Now, that doesn't mean he's not still going to have positional versatility. They still plan on, you know, bringing him down inside, hand on the dirt on occasion during, you know, specific down packages or whatever. But LaFleur seems to think, and I think I agree, that, you know, that would be probably a bit much for him in the league. But I do think, you know, obviously it's going to be a requirement that he puts up and makes a big jump from year one to year two. There's no way that this kid should not be playing significant minutes starting next season. But as far as going full-time five tech, I'd be very surprised. Dustin, thank you for the super chat. RIP Ticket King, long live Festival Foods. Salute to that. Let me see. Robert, thanks for the super chat. When is Corey going to sell me his house? Robert, I'll have to ask you. I'll have to ask him. But seeing as he's, you know, it's been his lifelong dream to own a house across from Lambeau, and he plans on retiring there, prospects don't look too good, Robert, but I'll see what I can do. Move Z inside and Gary outside? Yeah, well, they did a little bit of that in the sense that they did have Z rushing from the A-gap. You saw the 49ers had the perfect antidote to that. Run away from it. Run outside. But I doubt they'd ever put Zadarius in there full time like they did with Clay back in 2014. But I think they'll definitely keep mixing and matching and moving the guys around. But I still think they need a three-down backer that they can play inside. When is your radio show on? I love it, but never know when it's on. Well, Ryan, funnily enough, the last one is tomorrow morning. Our contract was through the season. And the 24th, which is tomorrow, is our last day with iHeart. But we do have a meeting with them next week to talk about the offseason and going forward, so we'll see. But tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, 9:15 Eastern, 8:15 Central. Check it out. This is the last one. Bears fans love Nagler. Yeah, it's funny how that works, isn't it? Well, it's just because they spent all last offseason talking so much junk, and then the season came, and we kicked their ass, and I rubbed their faces in it. And now I'm enemy number one, which is great, you know? I love it. There's a house for sale right across the street from Lambeau. 4-bed, 2-bath, all painted up in Packers colors. $750,000, which is way more than Corey paid for his. I think that's probably the same one that last year was on the market for like $1 million, but they couldn't move it. So I think they've brought it back down to 750. But still, it's crazy how much those will go for. Why are we terrible at tackling still? Well, probably because they don't practice it a whole lot. And look, they were terrible all summer long. All preseason they couldn't tackle. And then the season came and they got a little better. And it seemed like they were getting better at tackling as the season went on. And then we saw Sunday night. They were atrocious. Look, I've said this. Anybody who's followed me for any number of years or any length of time knows how I feel about this. When you get to the NFL level, there is no time to teach tackling. And you don't have the practice time and or ability to go pads. Most guys go thud. Live tackling is very much a thing of the past in NFL practices for a number of reasons. If you want to have a good, strong tackling team, you have to draft tacklers. They have to be amazing tacklers in college because when they get to the NFL level, there's just no time. You're going to practice technique. There's no doubt about that. But when it comes to the art of wrapping up and getting a guy to the ground, you have to have a guy who just it has it inherently. Because once they're in the league, you're not practicing it. You just aren't. The only live tackling you get is in preseason and regular season games. That's just the way of the world right now. What position group has the most upside going into 2020? Outside linebacker. I mean, obviously Kyler Fackrell will probably hit the market, and we bid him adieu, but with the two Smiths and Gary still there, sky's the limit, man. I think they just started scratching the surface of the potential. If Gary can reach his athletic ceiling. Now, I don't think that's a light that's just going to come on, but I do think Mike Smith and his potential as a coach at the outside linebacker spot, those three could be downright scary. Most underappreciated Packer, Bud? That's a really good question. I'd probably say Corey Linsley. just because he's down in, down out, really super solid, never draws attention to himself. He does get beat every once in a while, but the guy's a rock, plays all the time, missed a little bit of time with a back injury this year, but he's just like, doesn't get a lot of fanfare, comes, does his job. Obviously, Elgton Jenkins got a lot of love this year. Bakhtiari is now a Pro Bowler and been to 3-time All-Pro, etc. He gets love. I think Lindsley's underappreciated. Corey, Robert wants to know when you're going to sell him your house. That would be never, Robert. Okay. What do you want to do here? Yeah. Have I watched the Hernandez documentary? Ismail, not yet. I've seen a lot of commentary about it. It does keep popping up in my Netflix queue, but haven't had more than, I think, 20 minutes at home where I wasn't asleep within a half hour. So I do want to watch it, just haven't had the time yet. Any word on Williams staying, leaving? Nothing yet. I'll be very interested to see how they handle that. I've said here, I think earlier this week, I think it makes a lot of sense to try and bring him back on a one-year deal, if only because of the lack of development they got from Josh Jackson. But who knows? Maybe they decide to move on, which I think would be a loss for the locker room and, you know, a lot of the sub packages. Am I looking forward to the new Pet Shop Boys album? Does the Pope wear a funny hat? Did you see the new video came out today? Those men are brilliant. Apparently, the Hernandez doc has quite a few larger errors. Yep, David, I've seen, like I said, a lot of commentary about it. Solo vs. Mandalorian. Wow, we're getting all off the map here. I think both of them qualify as the best end of what Disney has done with Star Wars. I love both. Do we see more Dexter Williams next year? That is a very good question. Couldn't get on the field this year because they didn't trust him. You remember back in Dallas when Jamal Williams was hurt and he was on the 53-man roster, they brought up Tri Carson from the practice squad because they didn't trust him. Finally got a carry or two late in the season, but he's got to hit the books and he's got to be able to get every single adjustment when it's given to him. And they got to be able to trust him as far as assignments, pass protection, route adjustments, everything. Because that's what's holding him back at this point. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to jump. I can't thank you guys enough. 270 of you just hanging out here on a Thursday afternoon talking Packers. And I bet you all are craving some delicious deals, right? Well, sign up for the Festival Foods emails and you'll have the weekly ad and more delivered to your inbox each week. By signing up for their emails, you'll be the first to know about new products and sale items. And if you're looking for ideas for your next meal, you'll also get the latest food trends, recipes, and meal planning tips and tricks. So what are you waiting for? Subscribe to the Festival Foods emails today at festfoods.com/email. And hey, hit like, hit subscribe. We're going to be here all off season chatting Packers each and every day for the most part. Can't thank you guys enough for all the support you've given us throughout this season. Corey and I were going over some of the numbers this morning. It's absolutely crazy how Cheesehead TV has grown throughout the entirety of the football season this year. Hopefully that just continues into the offseason. Keep it here. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Go Pack, go. Have a good night. See you tomorrow.